Now, in your Bibles today, I'm looking in Genesis chapter number 1, and I'm going to look at verse number 1. Genesis chapter 1, verse number 1. The Bible said, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." Now, our Heavenly Father, as we look at this today, I pray you'll help us and guide us and help us to say what we should say and nothing we should not say. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. When we look at this wonderful verse of the Bible, it is the beginning for mankind. Now, this is not where God began, but this is where God began historically and spiritually for mankind, that we might understand the things that God wants us to understand. Now, in this verse, we have in the beginning God. God is the figure in this verse. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Now, the word God comes from the word Elohim, and it means, my friend, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. Now, this word is found 2,606 times in your King James Bible, 2,606 times. Now, God is a great God. God is the Creator. God is in control. God is God. And when you think about God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost being a Trinity, and yet they're one, but they work in three parts. Amen. I cannot explain all of that, but I am glad that we have a God. I mean, I'm glad we've got a God that is smarter than I am. And I want to preach on this subject today, God. I just want to talk about God. Amen. Now, first of all, I want you to look today. Let's just say this about God. God is righteous. We're going to say some things about God. God is righteous. In the beginning, God, Elohim, God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. God is righteous. Everything God does is righteousness. God is all about doing right. God is never about doing wrong. It is never right to do wrong. It's never wrong to do right. It's always right to do right, so just do right. Amen. It's always wrong to do wrong, so just do right. Now, the thing is, we are to do right. Amen. God is about righteousness. He's about doing what is right. Amen. The old fellow said, just do right. If the stars fall from heaven, just do right. God is about righteousness. God is righteousness. Then I want to say to you, not only is God righteous, but God is right. God is right. Everything God does is right. Now, we're talking about in the beginning God, Elohim. We're talking about God. God is right. Whatever He does is right. Whatever He says is right. Wherever He puts you or places you, He's right. God is always right. Whatever happens in our life, He's right. Whatever situation you were born in, God is right. Amen. He's always right. When God leads a preacher to do something, or a deacon, or a Sunday school, or a pastor, God is always right. Amen. If God is in it and God's telling you to do it, God is right. Now, there are things that I don't understand. There's sicknesses that I personally do not understand, people that are sick. There's some things I don't understand. But I want you to know that God is right. Amen. And remember what Abraham said? Abraham said, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? God is right. May I say to you, not only is God, my friend, righteous, and not only is God right, but God is refreshing. In the beginning, God created the heaven. They're talking about God, Elohim, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. God is refreshing. To the sinner, God is refreshing. To the man who has just been saved and delivered from drugs and sin and immorality, to the woman who's been delivered from immorality, God is refreshing. To the Christian who has fought a hard battle with the devil, God is refreshing. To that preacher that's fought a hard battle in his church, God is refreshing. To that young lady who's fought a hard battle in her life, amen, who has waited on God and she is doing what's right, God is refreshing. The Bible said, "And be not weary in well doing, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not." Amen. God is refreshing. The psalmist said, "As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God." What? He needed refreshing. You see, many times we're down And yet we go to God, we go to the Bible, we go to prayer, and we are refreshed by God. God is refreshing. As a spring wind would refresh the land and refresh you as you walk outside, God is that wind through the Holy Ghost, and He refreshes our soul. God is righteous. God is right. God is refreshing. Now let me give you another one. God is reaching down to man. Have you ever thought about that? God is reaching down to man. How do you say, preacher, what do you mean by that? Well, God reaches down to the sinner. Amen? The Bible said that his holy arm hath gotten him the victory. You see, I believe the arm's talking about his power. I believe that's Jesus Christ. Amen? You see, Jesus is still reaching down for sinners. I wasn't looking for God when I got saved, but God was seeking me. Amen? I didn't really seek God, but God sought me. And He saved me by the grace of God. God is still reaching down. You may be in prison for the crimes you've committed. You may be on death row. You may be in the gutter. You may be homeless. You may have lost your family, lost your kids, lost your wife. But God is reaching down to you. God doesn't want some little profession, some little rededication out of you. But God wants to reach down and help you. God wants to save you. There's people under the sound of my voice today. You don't need to rededicate. You don't need to do this and do that. You don't need to clean up. You know what you need? You need God to reach down for you. Amen. Remember the old song? His hand reached farther down than I could reach up. God is reaching down to men today. God's reaching down to lost men. God wants to save you. The day of salvation is today. The time to be saved is right now. Brother, the gospel is the power of God. It is time for you to realize that Jesus died on the cross, was buried, and rose again for your sins. The time to be saved is now. God is reaching down to men. Now, not only as the aspect of a sinner, but as a saved man, of a saint of God, God reaches down. I believe sometimes, I know the Holy Spirit lives within us, but I tell you, have you ever had this? Had God reach down from heaven, and it felt like He laid His hand upon you? I mean, God reaches down. God looks down. God sees us as man, and God deals with us mercifully and kindly and graciously, and God will reach down for you and me. Amen? The Bible said, mine eyes are ever toward the Lord, for He shall pluck my feet out of the net. Yet you ever start to do something, and God reached down and grab you right in the nick of time and grab you out of trouble. Amen? That is God reaching down. God is righteous. God is right, my friend, today. And then God is refreshing. God is reaching down to man. Now let me say this. God is real. Praise the Lord. God is real. The Bible said that the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. A man that would look out across the mountains, a man that would look out across the ocean, and a man that would say there is no God, that man is a fool. The Bible said that man's a fool. Now, I don't want to call a man, but the Bible said the man's a fool. My friend, a man that don't believe in God, the Bible said the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Listen, when you realize there's a creation, the Bible said the heavens declare the glory of God. And I want to say this to you. I didn't know God when I got saved. I didn't know anything about God. But I tell you one thing. I found out that He's real. Amen. I'm not just talking about emotionalism, but I'm talking about somebody that'll go with you through your troubles and through your trials. I'm talking about somebody that'll stick with you closer than your wife. I'm talking about somebody that'll stick with you closer than your husband. I'm talking about somebody that'll stick with you better than your best friend. I'm talking about somebody that'll stick with you better than the preacher. I'm talking about God. God. Amen. Oh, if you've got that relationship with God, it's kind of like the songwriter put it. And He walks with me and He talks with me and He tells me I am His own and the joy we share as we tarry there none other has ever known. Do you know what it is to walk with God? Oh, God is real. You say, preacher, I've been through a valley. I've been through a dark. I understand that. But friend, let me tell you, even in my darkest hours, God has been real to me. God has manifested Himself to me. I tell you, I remember times when God has just made Himself real. real to me. God has manifested himself and let me know that he still loves me. Amen. I think about something. This would be foolish to you. You wouldn't even understand this. But I remember many years ago, my mother was rushed us to the hospital and they didn't know what had happened to her. She fainted in a grocery store and they got her in the hospital. And the next morning she had come to, but I was still so upset over that. Me and my wife went into a restaurant to eat and I couldn't even eat my meal hardly for crying. And there's a little girl in there. She's probably about 18 years old. She was making little toy balloons for the kids. And she'd twist some of them up and make them into a rabbit. Or she'd make one into a sword or whatever. And I remember for some reason, that little girl, I was in my 40s. That little girl came to my table. And I guess she saw that I was sad that day. And that little girl said, "Sir," she said, "could I make you a balloon?" And I started crying. I said, "Yes, ma'am, you can." I said, I'm sad today. I said, "My little mom," I said, "I just moved." And I told him where I just moved to. And I said, I just moved to Allegheny County. I just moved up there. We was going to, get the radio going when we ended up starting the church, all that. And I said, I'm in very bad, I'm just in bad shape. And that little girl made me a balloon. And before I left there, somebody cornered me off and said, "Hey," said, "you move in Allegheny County?" I said, "Yes, I just have moved there, yesterday. A few days ago, maybe a week ago." And the person said to me, "Well, let me tell you something," said, "hey, we're from Allegheny County." Then we got talking. Now, the Lord sent that girl by to make me that little sword. I kept that little balloon for a long time. Now, I don't know why that little girl came over to my table, except for the fact that God sent her over there. God said, "One of my children's hurting over yonder, and he needs a blessing," and said, "I want you to go over there and bless him." Amen. Now, you may say, "Well, preacher, that's foolish. That's kid stuff." But I tell you what, God's real, brother. God don't have to work on your time clock and on mine. God just send somebody by with a blessing right at the time. Amen. Right at the time we need it, God sends somebody by with a blessing. I've had things happen to my vehicles and different things, and God send people by right at the right time that could get the job done and help me. God is real. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Who? Elohim. God the Father. God the Son. God the Holy Ghost. Amen. I'm talking about God. I'm talking about God is righteous. I'm talking about God, my friend, is right. I'm talking about God's refreshing. I'm talking about God reaches down to man. I'm talking about God is real. I'm talking about God today. I'm talking about somebody bigger than you are, bigger than me are. I mean, listen, brother, fire can't burn him and water can't drown him. You can't put him on paper. I mean, listen, friend, he's God. Amen. He's God working in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Let me say, God is love. Oh, my friend, the Bible declares that God is love. You know, listen, God loves you today. Did you know that? God loves me today. Now listen, love is not an excuse to cover our sins up and never get confession, but God loves me. God chastens me sometimes because he loves me. Oh, listen, Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Jesus loves me when I do wrong. He sure does. He loves me. Even then, I'm his child. Jesus loves me when I do right. Jesus loves me when I'm hurt. And Jesus loves me when I'm in a battle. Jesus loves me when I've said too many things with my tongue. Jesus loves me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God is love, my friend. Oh, my friend, listen, you don't know what love is if you don't know God. If you're not a Christian, if you're not a born-again Christian, you really don't know what love is. Now, the world mixes up love and lust. They mix that up. But, my friend, love, amen, is a great thing. Love is the powerful thing. Now, abide faith, hope, and charity, these three. But the greatest of these is what? Charity. Amen. And I believe there it's talking about brotherly love, but God's love to mankind. Oh, listen, love is the best thing. If you don't have love in your home, you really don't have a home. If you don't have love in your church, you don't have a church. If you don't have love in your life, you really don't have a life. You know, many people do not know how to love people. They don't know how. My friend, love is going easy with people. Read the book of 1 Corinthians and 13 and apply those things. Charity beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things. Amen. I mean, it's patient, brother. It's not easily provoked. Listen, if we would check up, I'm afraid we don't really love like we ought to. You know the first the Ten Commandments were to man. Some of them were man's relationship to man. Some were man's relationship to God. Thou shalt not kill. Amen. If you love your neighbor like you ought to, you're not going to kill him. Thou shalt not commit adultery. If you love your neighbor like you ought to, you're not going to take his wife. Amen. Thou shalt not steal. If you love your neighbor, you're not going to take what's not yours. Amen. You see, it boils down to in America, we don't have love. Love is not there. And by the way, 1 John said, God is love. God is love. When you've got God in your heart, the love will manifest. Love is part of the fruit of the Spirit. When you're saved, you'll love those you hated. Amen. You cannot hate people. Amen. You will have love. God is love. I remind us, amen, remind you preachers that God is love. We better be careful. Better be careful. All of us had better be careful. Our words, amen, because God is love. Now let me say, not only is God love, but God is lovely. Oh, my friend, God is lovely. I believe in the Song of Solomon, said he's altogether lovely. Oh, listen, he said in Psalm 84, how aimable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. And if you look that word up, it means lovely. How lovely is God's house. Everything God does and everything God is, he is lovely. I tell you, the world cannot compare to God. Amen. Satan has nothing that will compare to God. This old world, I mean houses, lands, material blessings have nothing compared to God being lovely. Oh, he's lovely. I love to just read about him. I love to look up in the sky and think about him. I love to pray to him. I love to talk to him. Why? Because he's lovely. He's very pleasant to be around. God is not some grandfatherly figure sitting on the throne. By the way, we ought to go to God with holiness. Amen. We ought to go to God with reverence. But God is not somebody stern, just ready to beat the fire out of you. Now, sometimes God is stern. When you approach him, sometimes God is terrible. He's stern. But sometimes God just loves you. I remember one time years ago, I did something I ought not have done, and I knew better. You know, sometimes we just do things we ought not do. The Bible said, therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. And I thought, well, the Lord's going to chasten me over that. I'll get in trouble over that. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit said to me, he said, I love you. And when the Lord said that to me, I began to cry. Oh, God didn't beat the fire out of me. God didn't kill my wife or flatten a tire on my car or bust the wind out of my truck. Now, wait a minute. God can do all that stuff. God's a chastening God. But God corrected me by saying, I love you. You know, sometimes your children, sometimes you don't even have to correct them with a switch or whatever. You can just say, I love you. And I'm not saying against discipline. Sometimes they have to be corrected, but not abused. Amen. But you need to love them. Everything you need to love. You know, when a man gets saved, I believe his animals. Amen. He'll even love his animals. Amen. We ought to have a love. And I've been guilty over the years of not allowing God's love to manifest in my life. But God is lovely. God is, when you begin to think about God's love, and then you begin to think about God's loveliness. God is just lovely. Amen. So no wonder he answered me, Ricky, I love you. Amen. Because he's lovely. He's very pleasant to be around. He's very pleasant to be with. He's very pleasant to carry on a conversation with. He's very pleasant in the morning time just to praise and just to worship him in the morning time. Before you do anything, just maybe have a time just praising the Lord a little bit for the things he's done. Thank him for the things done. Why? Because God is lovely. God's love. God is lovely. May I say to you, God is long-suffering. Oh, God is long-suffering. Boy, you and I, we like to just put people off somewhere, wouldn't we? Why, boy, preacher, he's asked God to forgive him 300 times. Well, let me say this to you, friend. God's mercy endureth forever. Amen. I'm glad God's been long-suffering to me. Even before I got saved, God dealt with me. God didn't have to deal with me but one time, but he did. And then after I've got saved, I've not always done everything that's right, but God's been long-suffering to me. God's been patient with me when I wouldn't get in his wheel, and I thought my way was better than his way. And it don't have to be some big thing. I mean even some little thing. It boils down to even what I'm supposed to be preaching. You know, I can sit down and get my own sermons, get my own series of messages, and God not be nowhere around that. But if I get with God's plan, my friend, I realize in God's long-suffering, God realizes this old flesh makes so many mistakes. Boy, I tell you what Paul said, when I would do good, evil is present with me. This old flesh is filthy, amen. But I have you to know that God today is long-suffering. Boy, I tell you, God was long-suffering to those people down in Nineveh, wasn't he? There's 180,000 people down there. Didn't know their right hand from their left hand. God called a prophet down there, old Jonah, and Jonah was wanting them people to be destroyed. I mean, boy, Jonah took great delight in preaching 40 days and God's going to destroy this place. And all of a sudden, the people repented and they fasted before God. And Jonah the prophet could not handle that. In chapter number 4, he's a pouting prophet. And he's pouting and he's wishing to die. Why? Because he had the greatest revival in history and then got mad because he had the revival. I don't understand that, friend. I don't ever want to preach like I'm mad at somebody for repenting. We want to see people get right. I want to see a revival in America. I want to see God turn this nation. And let me say this, God is God. Amen. God is long-suffering. I tell you, I look at America. And I say this today, God's been long-suffering to this country. Oh, there's all kinds of immorality going on in this nation. I mean all kinds of it. But God is long-suffering. You say, why hasn't God judged America yet? Because he's long-suffering, my friend. And then I want to say this to you. God not only is love, and not only is he lovely and long-suffering, but let me tell you, God's listening today. Did you know that God is listening? Amen. He's listening. Amen. Now, I believe in praying and talking to God. Amen. And there's an old song. It wasn't a Baptist song. Amen. But don't fault me. It said, I believe the Pentecostals had this song. And it said, Jesus on the main line. Tell him what you want. Well, there's a little bit of truth in that in this sense. The Jesus on the main line. Amen. You remember them old party telephones? Some of you older remember those. And I mean, Uncle Henry, Aunt Bessie, and Uncle Frank, and Aunt Jane, all of them was on there. And they'd listen to everything you said. And then finally, they come out with a private line and all that kind of stuff. But let me tell you something. Jesus on the main line. You know what God's cell phone number is, don't you? I'm going to give it out to you here on the radio. I wouldn't give it to nobody if I was you, but I'm going to give it out. No, you give it to anybody you want to. God's cell phone number is this, Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Can you imagine a little frail human on earth? I'm just a little frail human. I don't know how to go out or come in. I'm a little frail human. I told God this morning, I said, God, I don't have any wisdom. I don't know how to run this thing. I don't know how to do. Boy, I used to think I knew everything, but I don't know how. I don't know how to do it. Amen. But let me just say that to you, that God, my friend today, God is all these things. Amen. God is listening. When I pray, God is listening. Amen. Now, if I've got my heart right, and got my heart cleaned out, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. But if I've got my heart right, God's listening to my prayer. Boy, I tell you, the old devil came to me some time ago. I was praying down my prayer list, and the devil said, why, you wasting your time praying down that thing? He said, you're just wasting your time calling names out like that. You know, the devil's always want to tell you how to do it different. Well, the devil never prays, so he don't know how to pray anyway. But you know something? Hey, let me tell you something. Did you know that God is listening? And what I do is not foolish, and the prayer list is not foolish. I've seen God answer a prayer just the other day off that prayer list for me. I've been having immune system problems for years. They did a test on me. My immune system is so low. And I went to the doctor not long ago when I was sick, and the doc said, well, you have a viral infection. He said, you don't really need anything. But he said, I know you get sick, and he said, you always get worse. I'm going to give you an antibiotic. He said, but don't you take it unless you need it. Well, I went home just thinking, well, it'll be a day or so, I'll have to take that antibiotic. You know, God cleared that sickness up, and the first time in I don't know how long, I have not had to take that antibiotic. And I just thank God. Now, that may be small to you, but I thank God he's answering prayer. I thank God he's watching down my prayers. He's listening every day when I go to my prayer list. Listen, God's listening for you to be in that place of prayer. Saint of God, you used to be in that place of prayer, and you're not there anymore. God is listening. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, they're listening for you. They want to talk to you. Now, you know, my old cats will get gone for a while, and I go outside and holler for them, whatever, they don't come up. One of them stayed all night the other night. I couldn't get them in the house, and in the little sunroom where I keep them. I couldn't get them in, and it's cold weather, couldn't get them in. And you know, something, it kind of hurts you when they don't come. Amen. And you call, and you call, and you call, no answer. Boy, I tell you what, sometimes I can call them out by name. I can call, I got one named Casper. I can call old Casper by name, and I can hear his feet just coming through the yard. Toom, 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 toom. And boy, he hears me. Here he comes. It can be dark night. I got one named Blackberry, and I'll say, Blackberry, come in here. Boy, Blackberry, I can hear him little feet. Choo, choo, choo. Here she comes, and she'll come. And listen, you know what is? They're responding to my voice. Amen. Hey, can I tell you, God's in the listening place. God wants to hear about your trouble. Listen, you, instead of taking it to God, you take it to everybody else. You post it on social media all the time. Listen, did you know you can go to God? You know there's too much of this. Now y'all fall out with me on this. But listen, listen, you can get other people to pray. There's nothing wrong with that. If I'm real sick, I'm going to get people to pray for me. I sure am. But listen, why not go to God yourself? You know, you got to line in with God. I'm glad God listens to Ricky Cothran. Amen. I don't have to go to 15 preachers. Now wait just a minute. Wait just a minute. Sometimes it's good to get people to pray for you. I'm not knocking that. But did you know I can go to God directly? Why? Because His ears are open to my cry. He's listening. I've got somebody, literally, up in heaven. I can call to Washington. They're not going to listen to me. I can call the governor. They're not going to listen to me. I can probably go to the county. They may not even listen to me sometimes. But I can go to God, and He's listening. God is listening. Amen. Jesus on the main line. Tell Him what you want. I mean, God is listening to you, brother. Amen. He's listening to you. Amen. Now, let me show you something else. Not only is he listening, and not only, my friend, is He love and lovely and long-suffering, but let me say this. God is light. He is light. You know why I'm a fundamental Bible-preaching independent Baptist? Because the light of God's Word has been shed on my soul. God's illuminated me. Amen. I'm glad. I mean, I'm not any other denomination. I'm a fundamental independent Baptist. Now, wait a minute. I don't hate people of other denominations, but I have the light. My crowd was the original ones. I didn't protest anything, didn't come out of anything. Look, brother, God has given me light. I believe in the fundamentals of the faith. God has given me that. I'm glad years ago there was some men preaching the Word of God when I was growing up, like Bobby Robertson, Jack Hiles, Tom Malone, Curtis Hudson. I mean, men like that that I listened to, and Harold Sittler, and men of that caliber that I listened to growing up. And they instilled some things in my heart, Maze Jackson and Billy Kelly. And let me say this to you, I've never got over that. Amen. God, my friend, has been good to me. And God has been, my friend, a light to me. He's shined the light of the Word of God. I started reading my Bible. We had a 100,000 watt radio station in our area. And the year I quit school, the fall that I didn't go to school, I listened to that radio. And boy, I tried to listen to them preachers on that radio. Amen. I sure did. I'd listen to them. Amen. I never knew this. There's a man in Sparta, North Carolina named George Farmer. And some of his family had the privilege of being their pastor for a little while. I never knew that I turned the radio across there one day as a young boy, and I heard George Farmer on WCOK radio out of Sparta, North Carolina. I never knew that one day our ministry would own that radio ministry right there. I never knew. George Farmer had a broadcast every day at 11 o'clock. Guess what my broadcast is there every day at 11 o'clock. Amen. Monday through Friday. I never knew that. I never knew that would happen as a young boy. But I tell you, some of these men, local men and nationally known men, they shaped my life for the glory of God. I'm glad for the preaching of the Word of God. Amen. And I want to say to you that God is light. Boy, if you get to seeking God, I get that old Bible down, begin to read, and God would manifest Himself to me. Amen. And God is light. I'm talking about in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. I'm talking about found 2,606 times the word Elohim. God. I'm talking about the true God now. Now, I'm not talking about some, you know, gods of this world. I'm talking about the true God. Amen. I'm talking about God up in heaven. And boy, God is light. God is love. God's everlasting. He's love. He's lovely. He's long suffering. Amen. But let me say this to you. Amen. He's life. God is not only light, but He's life. God is life. Boy, I tell you, since 1978, my life has been thrilled with blessings. The Bible said, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and He addeth no sorrow with it. Oh, how God has blessed Ricky Cothran. If He's never blessed anybody else, God has blessed me. You know what? You may be sick. You may be sitting by your radio. You may not can get outside. But you got to say, if you're born again, God's been good to you. God's been your life. Boy, I tell you what, God's been my life. Man, when we got in church, amen, and I got saved, we got in church. And I mean, church has been my life for the last 50 years. I've been as a whole on the church pew on Sunday morning, Sunday night. Wednesday night, singing the songs of God and worshiping God. Amen. I remember before I ever got saved, and I didn't even know what this meant. I didn't know what it meant, but I remember sitting and singing this old song. We're not home yet, children. Just a few more days to labor, and we'll sit down beside the river. How we've longed to be with Jesus, and our loved ones gone before us. Amen. I used to learn to sing a song. Praise God, we're not home yet. Amen. I didn't know what that meant. Well, 50 years later, I can sing that song, I'm not home yet. Amen. He walks with me in the garden. We pray, I'm not home. I'm going home. Amen. I'm going home. But God is my life. I tell you what, if some of you would decide today, while I'm preaching this message, if you'd fall on your knees and decide that God is going to be your life, husband, wife, if you decide that God is not your kids, not your grandkids, not your husband, not your wife, amen, not them being, you see, some people's all wrapped up in their husband or their wife. Why, if their husband or wife dies, why, they're all wrapped up in that. They and I'm not saying you'll ever forget them, but they cling to things of their husband or their wife. I know there's somebody and their spouse died and they just wanted to die. They basically went to the doctor and told the doctor they wanted to die. Now listen, friend, that we shouldn't live like that. Well, I know, friend, God puts people here, God takes people away, but Jesus ought to be my life. Now I love my wife. I'd do anything in this world for her. She's closer to me than anybody on the face of God's earth. I mean, we do everything together. That's my best friend. Amen. She is the best friend I've ever had on this earth besides the Lord Jesus. But wait a minute. My life's not to be wrapped up in her. If I die today, she needs to go on and serve the Lord. If she dies today, I need to go on and serve the Lord. Amen. If I can, I need to go on and serve the Lord. God is my life. Amen. You can't let children and grandchildren, you can't let this and that be your life. Amen. Some of you got your life wrapped up in your children. Wrap your life up in Jesus Christ. God is life. Boy, when you begin to realize that Jesus is the only one that matters, and all that matters in life is Jesus Christ, you'll live an abundant life. That don't mean you don't enjoy life. Why, God wants us to eat watermelon and ice cream, amen? And God wants us to eat a hot dog every once in a while, amen? Don't tell my doctor, but God wants, you gotta eat what's right for you, but I'm just saying this to you, amen? God wants me to enjoy the sunset. Sometimes, God just wants me to sit still and watch the sunset. It might be good just watch the sun rise. Amen. Why, some of people, I mean, they're on all other things all the time, phones and things, and they never know the sun rises and sets. Why, brother, he's life. Well, you ain't lived, amen, till you just sit outside on a good summer's day and enjoy life, amen? Or do you watch snowfall on a winter's day and enjoy life? We ought to enjoy life. My old doctor gave me some advice one time. He said, eat good, sleep good, and enjoy life, amen? God is life. And then may I say to you, God is lasting forever. You know, when the Holy Spirit came to dwell with me, January 22nd, 1978, when he came in my heart to dwell in me, did you know he's lasting forever? You see, I can't get unsaved, all right? And nobody else can either. I want you to understand that. Even you that think you can lose it, you really don't lose it. I just want you to know that you're saved forever. Once you're saved, you can't get out of the hand of God, all right? I mean, no wonder you're confused and tore up all the time. Amen. And I was confused about that doctrine when I first got saved. I didn't understand everything. But let me say this to you. God is lasting forever. Amen. Basically this, Jesus told the disciples, get in the ship, we're going to the other side. When I got saved in 1978, Jesus told me, he said, get in the ship, son, we're going to the other side. Now we've hit some storms, we've hit some sunny days, we've hit some rough places, but we're still going to the other side. There's been days I've wanted to quit, didn't want to go on, didn't want to serve God, didn't want to preach another sermon, didn't want to be on another radio broadcast. I thought I'd just quit it all. But you know what? You know what? God is lasting forever. I can't quit because he didn't quit. Amen. He's lasting forever. Well, let me say this. God, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Amen. Did you know I think we should sing about him? We should sing about God. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness, beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth. is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great King. What a sing about Him. Amen. What a sing to God. Amen. Now, you may not carry a tune to bucket, but you can get out somewhere in the old pine thicket under an oak tree somewhere and sing to God. Amen. What a sing to Him. Our singing in our churches ought to be to God. When we're singing to God be the glory, that's what we ought to be singing. When we sing Revive Us Again, we ought to mean it. We sing Amazing Grace, we ought to mean it. When we're singing, we ought to be singing to God. We ought not be trying to impress the fellow that's standing beside of us, but we ought to be trying to impress God. What a sing, because He's worthy of our singing. He's worthy of what a sing to Him. Amen. Then I want to say this, we ought to preach about Him. That's what I've been trying to do for 42 years. I've not done a good job. I admit I'm a failure. I admit that. But oh, I'd rather do nothing than preach about Him. Boy, I thought about in my life, I wished I'd done this and done that. No, I don't. I'm glad to be a preacher. If I had life to live over, I think I'd have started preaching a little earlier. Amen. I thank God. God called me. By the way, did you know everybody can't preach? Did you know that? Now, there's some men God have never called to preach. There's some men that God has called to preach, but they've gotten disqualified along the way. And when they do that, they have to step aside. That's a hard thing, but they have to step aside. Amen. Amen. Listen, God calls you, but God realizes sometimes, amen, that you disqualify yourself and you have to step aside. Amen. Now that calling will always be with you. It'll always be there, but you can't use it. Amen. Because God said no in 1 Timothy and in Titus. And we need to obey that with God. But let me say this to you about God. Amen. We ought to preach about Him. Us that are qualified, we ought to preach about Him. Amen. Oh yes, we ought to preach about Him. Amen. Why? Because, my friend, He needs preaching about Him. He needs declared to the heathen. He needs to be declared to this world. We need to preach about Him. We need to preach about Him. When I'm to preach, I'm not supposed to just give you a psychological evaluation. I'm not supposed to give you some kind of philosophy. I'm not interested in sitting and talking to you. I'm interested in preaching the Word of God. And preaching's what'll get the job done. We ought to preach about Him. And then sinners will be saved and the church will be filled. We ought to sing about Him. We ought to preach about Him. Then I want to say we ought to share Him with others. Oh, this is where I fail. But you know what? Oh, John and Andrew, they were following John the Baptist. And John the Baptist said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Boy, they switched right there. They started following Jesus. And boy, it wasn't long till Andrew found Peter. And then it wasn't long till Jesus found Philip, and Philip found Nathaniel, and they just kept finding people. Amen? Now listen, I don't care whose camp or clique or whatever you're in. I'm not worried about that, but I'll tell you what, soul winning's in the Bible, and we ought to be finding people. Amen. I'm talking about people genuinely getting saved. I'm not talking about repeating some prayer with no Holy Spirit, but I'm talking about people getting saved. I'm talking about people. You know, old Brother Bobby Robertson, he'd go to a house and he'd witness to them, and he'd go back, and he'd go back, and he'd go back again. Listen, we ought to share. Now, the devil, I think, is told us a lie here in America. Now, we're good about supporting missions, and I praise the Lord for that, but you can't put $20 in the missions offering and then excuse yourself from not witnessing in your local area. Now, the devil's come to us and say, "Well, our local area is too hard." You think it ain't as hard in England as it is in America, but you send missionaries there. You think it ain't as hard in Scotland as it is in America, but we send missionaries there. You think it ain't as hard in Egypt as it is in America, but we send missionaries there. Let me tell you something, brother. It's hard everywhere. It's a hard day. That's why we need to pray. We need to fast and get a hold of God so the demons of hell will be curbed at this kind, goeth forth but by prayer and fasting. But we ought to share Him. Oh, my friend, listen, somebody as good as God. Why, if somebody gave you $1 million today, you'd tell everybody about it. Amen. Why, old Sam, he just pulled $1 million out and gave it to me. And boy, old Sam would have 100 calls. Somebody wanting another million. Amen. But the Lord has given you eternal life, and we don't tell anybody about it. We say, "Oh, preacher, I'm shy." Well, who ain't? Amen. I was so shy. In the 10th grade of school, I paid a boy 10 cents a day to go get my lunch through the lunch line. I'm still shy. I let my wife pay for most of the food right now. I'm still shy. Did you know that? Hey, let me tell you something. Won't you listen to me? That is no excuse. Listen, what'll take away that shyness when you witness for God is be filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. But we ought to share Him with others. There are people that God's been dealing with me about. And I pray for them on my prayer list. But God said, you have not shared them. Oh, God. God needs to be sang about, preached about, needs to be shared with others. Then I want to say God is blessed. Oh, he's highly favored. Amen. Blessed be the name. Oh, yes. God's never done you wrong, friend. He's blessed. He's highly favored. Boy, ain't that wonderful? Ain't that wonderful? You can just look up and say, God, you're blessed. You just look up. You're listening to this message. You ought to say, God, you are blessed. Oh, he's a blessed God. He's highly favored. There's no God like our God. You remember they captured that ark of the Philistines? The ark of Israel, the Philistines captured it. And they took it over there and they put it in their fish god's house, Dagon. They put it in his house. And the next morning, old Dagon was bowed on his face to that ark of the covenant that represented the presence of God. I tell you, God is blessed. I have a blessed God. Amen. I have somebody that's real. I have somebody to talk to me and walk with me. I have somebody that helps me. I have somebody that loves me. He's blessed. While you're sitting there today, you're listening to the radio, you don't think you got a friend in the world. I want to tell you that Jesus is blessed. I want to tell you, serve a blessed God. I'll tell you, the Holy Spirit is blessed. God the Father is blessed. They're all three in one. They're all working for your benefit. I'm about to shout. Are y'all having a good time? I mean, God is blessed. Ain't that wonderful? And then I want to say this, God is beautiful. Oh, the Bible talked about worship him in the beauties of holiness. When I get to think about all that God is, all that God has done, all that God is doing, all that God is going to do, read your Bible. Oh, God is beautiful. There's nobody as beautiful as God. Boy, he's beautiful. You know, when you go to heaven and you leave this old world, you're going to, right then, when you die, if you're saved, you're going to be standing in the presence of God. They said, my daddy, they gave him some medicine at 5 o'clock in the evening. They said, my daddy took a deep breath and said, and laid back on the bed and went to sleep. Now, I don't know all about that, but I've wondered about my daddy. My daddy wasn't, he died out of the will of God. But I believe daddy was saved. I believe that with all my heart. And my daddy was a country boy. My daddy never had nothing in life. And I can just imagine my daddy, when his eyes opened, he was on the street of glory. I can imagine my daddy gulping and gasping at God's beauty and saying, it grab a hold of him. Amen. I believe he died. Amen. Looking into heaven. I believe that. I really do. Oh, when I get to, I think about my little mama that went out on that bed with a heart attack that morning. Brother, they tried to save her and they tried to work with her. 9:10 on May the 5th, she checked out for glory. My mama never had much in life. She always wanted a nice home. She never had it. But glory to God, when she checked out for glory, I believe mama could open her mouth wide and say, wow. Amen. I mean, she saw the splendor and the beauty of God sitting on that throne with a rainbow around about that throne like an emerald. If you want to know what it's like in heaven for your loved ones right now, read Revelation 4. Read Revelation 4. God's sitting in heaven. That rainbow's around the throne. Those seraphims are crying, holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, which wert and art to come. Why, glory to God, they've been doing that for thousands of years, crying. And the 24 elders, that's the church. And we get there, boy, after the rapture of the church, we're going to be praising God. We're going to fall down at his feet and offer our crowns at his feet. And boy, the four beasts are going to be crying, holy, holy, holy. And we're going to be praising God. That's going to be a time, ain't it? Why, God is beautiful. God is blessed. God is beautiful. Let me tell you this. God is bountiful. Did you know that? Friend, I don't have a lot, but God does. I don't have a lot of resources, but God does. Amen. Why, listen, friend, the power of God is unlimited. God is omnipotent. Amen. His power is unlimited. God is bountiful. We talk to men sometimes, and we say, I'll talk to this fellow, and I'll get this done for you. Well, I'll tell you what I've seen in the last year or two. I've seen God do things mortal man couldn't do. I've seen God get in the hearts of men and work things out that wasn't supposed to be done, but they were done by God's grace and by God's glory. Somebody said, oh, the day of miracles is over. Why don't you be still? You don't know your Bible. I want you to understand, listen, God is still working out things. Amen. Now, God may not do certain things today. God may not heal you of your sickness. God may not come down in a lightning bolt. Hey, God don't do that. And God may heal you. God may see fit to heal. But God is still in the business of doing right. And doing, you know why? Because God is bountiful. Brother, God's got enough to supply your need. Don't you worry about that. You say, preacher, I just don't know where our finances are coming from. Well, are you tithing? Are you giving to the church? Amen. If you're not, now's the time. Amen. Now's the time to do that. I remember several years ago, I was trying to help some people and trying to do some counseling with them and a family. And we was going along pretty good until we got into the thing of tithing and giving. And when we did that, and the young lady, not the man, but the young lady spoke up. She said, I'm sorry, preacher. Said, we don't, or she said, well, preacher, we don't do it that way. And brother, from that point on, it drove a nail into that conversation. When she said, we don't do it. Listen, you can't do it any other way but God's way. If you don't do it God's way, it won't work. Amen. But let me tell you something. God is bountiful. If you give and do what God tells you to do, God will bless you. God is bountiful. I've seen this old ministry come from nothing. $700 in a coffee can. I mean, back years ago, we'd have a sheriff on and on the radio, $25 gifts. Now we have it. It blows my mind. $1,000 gifts. $5,000 gifts. Amen. Comes in. I mean, it blows my mind. Little old country preacher. But you know what? God is bountiful. And I don't know how many times me and some other men, we've quoted Luke 6:38 about, you know, give and it shall be pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. I mean, we've quoted that verse and used that verse. I've honestly seen that verse come to pass. Amen. I remember one time my mama said to me, Ricky, she said, we got more food than we know what to do with. My Uncle Bob had come down and got sick with cancer, and we took him part of that food. We wouldn't have no need for it. Amen. God had blessed us so richly. Amen. I mean, listen, brother, I just want you to understand that God is bountiful today. The Bible said in the book of Philippians, of course, God talking to the Philippian church about missions, but he said, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory. You see, God's rich far beyond this world. Yes, you say, preacher, I just can't get what I need. God can. God give you what you need. Now, God may not give you your wants. If I prayed for $1,000,000 today, I'd be out of the will of God. I don't need to pray for that, but I just pray God meet the need when it does come. Amen. Oh, let me say, can I say God is to be praised today? I'm talking about God. Amen. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. God is to be praised. It don't hurt you to lift your hands and say hallelujah. The Bible said lift your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. There again, we come to this part of shyness. Now, by the way, everybody's not going to act the same way. And by the way, I think there is a lot of things done for show in a church. I think there's a lot of worked up emotionalism. I'm not interested in that. I'm interested when the true worshipers worship. And a lot of times when the Holy Spirit's in a place, it'll just be real quiet. Nothing will be moving. It'll just be real quiet like. Amen. But I tell you, the praises of God will ring. Somebody in the choir may say hallelujah. Somebody may say glory to God. Listen, it's not about you. It's not about your mama. It's not about this and that. We have testimonies, and some preachers won't even call for testimonies nowadays because the garbage it's given. Amen. Some fellow's going to have a vision or a dream or talk about how good a saint his mama was. It ain't about me, and it ain't about you. You know, we begin to realize this thing ain't about us. This radio ministry ain't about me. You see, it ain't big enough for me and God both. And it's about God. And God's going to get the glory. Amen. It's about God. I mean, God, my friend, God is to be praised. Amen. I'm not to be praised. Nowhere in this Bible does it say Ricky Cothran's supposed to be praised. People said, oh, preacher, you're a good preacher. Well, listen, give the glory to God. God's good to let me preach. I'm not a good preacher. God's good to let me preach. Say, preacher, you got a good radio voice. Well, no. God's been good to let me have a radio voice. Amen. God has been good to this preacher. I thank God for it. Amen. Somebody contacted me one day, and a dear lady, and I was honored that she contacted me. She said, I'm going to make a movie. And she said it was a documentary about something, and it was a historical thing. And she said, sir, she said, I've heard you on the radio. Contact me from New York City. I wasn't even on the radio in New York City. And she contacted me, listening on the radio, listening on one of the stations from New York City on the internet. And she contacted me. And she said to me, she said, would you be willing to narrate my movie? She said, I've heard your radio voice. I told her, so, ma'am, I just really don't have time. And I don't have a lot of time. Amen. I'm busy. I'm trying to preach. I want to get people saved by the grace of God. Not nothing wrong with narrating a clean historical documentary about something, but I just didn't have to. But here's the thing about that. It's God. If you got a talent to sing, it's God. If you got a talent to play the instrument, you ought to be praising God for it. Not you. It ain't you. You ought to give God the glory. Just praise Him. Praise Him. Well, lift your hands and praise Him. It'd do you good to say hallelujah right where you are. It'd do you good just, by the way, this toe-tapping, hand-clapping, tongue-whacking crowd, I want to say something about that. They don't have a monopoly on praising God. Amen. I'm an old saint of God, and I believe in praising God. I believe in just shouting every once in a while. I believe in saying glory to God. I believe in saying hallelujah. I believe in doing it right. I tell you, some of the best meetings I ever had just been me and God. I remember one night I was praying. God came to me where I was. Boy, me and God had a time for a long time. I love those times. I long for those times. God is to be praised. And I've already said this, but God is to be preached. Oh, you know what every preacher ought to be doing? Preaching about Jesus Christ. Every preacher, your main goal. You shouldn't preach to quote-unquote lay it on them, or I'm going to get them with this sermon. No, sir, no, sir, no, sir. You ought to preach. By the way, we should never preach a sermon in a church so that we can go back and preach again. He said, well, if I preach this sermon, I'll get to go back and preach again. Well, I tell you what, I don't preach that way. We ought to be preaching about God. We ought to have something real. When people turn the radio on, they want a real preacher. They want an honest preacher. They want somebody that loves God. They want something real. People are looking for something real. Amen. God is a God to be praised. He's a God to be praised. He's a God to be feared. Did you know that? God is a God. You say, preacher, I don't have to be afraid of God. You better be afraid of God. You better be afraid to talk about God. You know, I think about those little children over there in Elisha's day, and the Bible called them little children. They came out and they mocked Elisha's bald head. Where did they learn that? They learned that at home. They learned no fear. You know what our kids are learning today? Don't fear God. Why, they've watched so much movie and so much fire and these movies and so much this and that and dark mess and played on these phones. I'm telling you, the all sense of reality is gone from these kids. The devil likes that because if he can get them doing that, he'll get it in their mind. The Lord ain't coming back. Why, the rapture seems small to some of these games and stuff, to some of these kids they play. But let me tell you, Jesus is coming. And he's a God to be feared. And I tell you, you will fear God one day. The Bible said every knee should bow and every tongue confess God is a God to be feared. Then I want to say God's a God to be trusted. God is a God to be trusted. How about that? Boy, I tell you what, my trust is in God. My hope ain't in man. Why, brother, man will let you down. Man will lie you. Man will con you. Man will manipulate you if you let him. Man is wicked. Did you know that? Why, brother, I hate to say it, there are some preachers, and they'll be your friend as long as you're in their little mold, do what they want you to do. And when you don't serve their purpose anymore, that's not true friendship. That's ungodliness and wickedness is what that is. Amen. But I tell you what, brother, God is the one I can trust. God said, don't put you, the middle verses of your Bible said, don't put your trust in men. Don't put your trust in princes. That's chief men. Somebody said, preacher, it's who you know. Well, not in this world. It's who you know in God. I've been trusting him since 1978. I trust him with my life. I trust him that night. And then I trust him with my income. I turned my check in at 40-year-old, went to work for this ministry. I've trusted God. Never missed a meal. God's people has helped me all across this country. And I've tried my best to preach the Word of God. I'm honored to be, I guess you'd say, full-time in the ministry. I never wanted to do anything else but preach and to work for God, really. And I'm glad God's given me that to do. And God, my friend, is to be trusted. Why, brother, when God tells me to do something in prayer, we had a project the other day, and we announced it. And boy, the devil kicked me over that. And he said, man, people think you're on the radio just for money. And, you know, we announced that, and it wasn't a few days later till a man called me. It was a radio project. We was going to take on some more stations. And a man called me, going to put me on the radio free of charge. How about that? And one of them. So listen, you get one blessing after another. When you follow God and you trust God, God will bless you more. The Bible said, my friend, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. You can't please God without faith. You can't please God without trusting in him. Somebody said, I'd be afraid to trust that. Well, you see, you've got your mind too much in this world. But I want my mind to be in the other world. I'm not talking about foolishness now, but I'm talking about he's a God that can be trusted. Hard times, good times. Can I say this, my friend? He's a God to be loved. I am not only God loves me, but I'm to love God. You know why I go to church on Sunday morning? Not because I'm afraid my preacher will call me up, but I go to church because I love him. I love God. You know why I go to church on Sunday night? I love him. I love God. You know why I read my Bible? Because I love him. You know why I pray? Because I love him. You know why I come and preach and do his work? Because I love him, God. In the beginning, God created the heaven and earth. God is to be loved. Hallelujah. Ain't that great? God is to be loved. Amen. Can I say this? God's to be feared. God's to be trusted. God's to be preached. God's to be praised. God's to be loved. Can I say God's to be obeyed? Listen, you ought to get, somebody said, you ought to be the man in your life that God never had to tell you had to do something but one time. Whoa, ain't that good? That's good right there. Can I say God is to be worshipped? And you worship God. Worship is kind of the overview of all of it. I pay my tithes to God because I'm worshiping him. Amen. I go to church to worship God. I sing to worship God. I preach and teach to worship God. God is to be worshipped. Not any other gods. Not there's no other gods to compare with him. You know, remember the book of Kings, the Bible said that they learned the ways of God, and then they cleave to the ways of their gods. That's what a lot of people do. They want the ways of their gods and the ways of God. But no, I just want God. Amen. He's worthy of it all. Then I want to say this to you. God is faithful. Have you ever thought about God not being faithful? Now, brother, me and you are unfaithful. You ever told somebody you'd be there at a certain time, you didn't make it? You ever told somebody you'd do something, you didn't do it? You ever told somebody that you'd take care of something, you didn't take care of it? I've done that. Amen. Sometimes I get busy. I get my mind on something. I tell my wife, I'll take care of that. And, bro, a month later, she remembers, hey, you never took care of that. Oh, I forgot. No, I didn't forget. I had my mind on something else. I did forget, but I shouldn't have done it. But you know, God's faithful. Every morning, God lets the sun rise. Every morning, God lets the sun set. Can I help you about something? There's no such thing as Mother Nature. Now, nature is taught in the Bible. Does not nature itself teach you, but not Mother Nature. Nature is not a creature. God called it a it. Amen. But there's no such thing as Mother Nature. You say, well, Mother Nature brings the snow. No. It's God. It's Father God. Amen. He brings the snow. Read Psalm 147. It'll tell you how that God brings the snow and ice, and then God sends out His Word and melts them. Amen. I believe every time it comes to snow, God lets it lay there a little while. Then God sends His Word out and says, all right, to the wind and blow and melt it. Amen. God's firmly in control. It's all God. It's all God. Amen. It's all Elohim. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. Can I tell you this? God, my friend, today is faithful. Think about that. And then I want to say God is fearful. Oh, God is wondrous in His works. You know, it would have been a fearful thing and an awesome thing, a terrible thing, and not a bad thing, but to have been there when the fire fell from heaven when Elisha was praying. Wouldn't that have been a fearful thing, but it'd been an awesome sight to see. Wouldn't it have been an awesome sight to see when David prayed to God about offering there at the threshing floor and the fire fell? Wouldn't it have been an awesome sight to see that pillar of fire by night and that cloud by day? Wouldn't it have been an awesome sight to walk across the Red Sea on dry ground? Our God is wonderful. Our God is terrible. Our God, amen, He is a terrible God. Amen. He's a fearful God. And I don't say that in a bad way. But His works, amen. I mean, listen. He's to be feared among the enemy. He's a fearful God. I mean, He's not just any ordinary. You think about God that made the ocean, miles deep in the ocean. You couldn't do that. You know, this crowd that don't like creation, why don't they go create a world of their own? Amen, if they're so smart. I mean, God, think about how God made that ocean. Think about how God made the hurricane and the tornado and all that. And can I just say climate change ain't got one thing to do with it? Amen. Read Genesis 8:22. That's the climate change killer. If you'll read that, it'll take care of it. Amen. God is fearful. Now, can I say this? God is a consuming fire. Amen. To you that are saved, if you mess with God, God will kill you. If you try to go against God, and I believe God judges people according to their attitude. Did you know that? Elohim, God, He's not my God's love, but He's also a consuming fire. You can have both personalities. You know what? You love your kids, but you correct them, right? Just because God is love doesn't mean He'll give you anything you want or send you anywhere or let you do anything, let you go to heaven without being saved. No, sir. He's a consuming fire. Then I want to say this to you. Our God is a God of fellowship. Now, this is amazing right here. God is a God that wants to fellowship with you. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Did you know Adam, what God wanted with Adam in creation was fellowship. God desires to communicate with you personally. Amen. God wants to know you personally. If you're saved, but you know there's people that'll go to heaven and you're saved, but you never have known God personally. You've never known Him. Boy, I tell you what, He's a God of fellowship. Amen. And then I want to say He's a God of the future. Did you know that? That there's more things getting ready to happen. Amen. We're not just going to go to heaven, but there's more things getting ready to happen. First of all, there's going to be a rapture. Then there's going to be a 7-year tribulation period. Then there's going to be 1,000 years millennial reign. Then there's going to be the white throne judgment. Then there's going to be, then there's going to be New Jerusalem. Boy, there's a lot to happen yet. God's a God of the future. This old world, the church, we're not in the tribulation period yet. We've not started in that yet, which we won't be here. The saints won't be here, but God's a God of the future. Amen? Can I tell you this? Amen? Can I say God is high? Boy, I'm glad I got a God that is higher than me. Ain't you? I'm glad I got a God that knows more than I do. You know, people today spend too much time asking God why. Well, brother, we don't have to ask God why. It ain't none of our business. Listen, I don't know why I was born blind. Don't make no difference. God's higher than I am. He's smarter than I am. God is high. Then can I say God is holy? God's a holy God. He's not some little God that you can swear in His face and demand what you want. You better be careful of that kind of stuff. You young preachers, you contemporary boys, amen, you think you can just go to God and demand what you want. Listen, you've been fed a bunch of stuff that ain't true. You've been fed a bunch of hogwash. Amen. You better realize He's a holy God. You better go to God reverently. You better go to God holy. Amen. Remember what Peter and John and James on the Mount of Transfiguration, when God's glory came, they fell on their faces. Oh, yes, my friend, God is holy. Then I want to say God is help. God is help. Did you know the Bible said He's a very present help in trouble? I don't know what you're going through. Listening to the radio out there right now, I have no idea what you're going through. But can I tell you, God is a God of help. God's a God of help. He wants to reach down and help you right now, friend. Oh, yes, would you let Him help you today? Maybe you're lost without God and you need to be saved. Would you let God help you? And then maybe you're saved and you say, boy, I'm in a terrible mess. Let God help you out of the situation. God's helped me this morning. I woke up this morning facing some things. I told my wife, I said, I don't know how to deal with it. And I began to pray, God, give me how to deal with it. Now, I'm going to tell you something. God is a present help. God's not going to make you wait 40 days. Oh, He may be slow in answering things, but God's always going to guide you in what to do. Sometimes He tells you just be still and wait. Do you want God for your help today? He's God, ain't He? In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. God, I thank You for being God. Thank You for all You've done for me. Thank You for being high and holy. Thank You for being above what I am, Lord. Now save that sinner that's nearest hell and help that one going through that problem today. In Jesus' name, I pray this prayer. Amen.